Laura and I both have bad colds, so I hope you'll bear with us and not expect a shaking of hands at the passing of the peace. It is a real honor to be asked to give this reflection. Honestly, I would rather listen to Father Randy. But having been invited to offer my contribution to worship this morning, I am glad and humbled to respond. My whole family and I are very thankful for the faithful ministry over many years of this remarkable parish and priesthood. So, in gratitude, I offer these thoughts in reflection on today's epistle and gospel. Before we get to the fifth chapter of Ephesians, in the second chapter of that letter, Paul's letter to the church at Ephesus, we have this amazing truth. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing, it is the gift of God. And then from the fifth chapter of the same letter to the Ephesians, we have today's epistle reading, sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs among yourselves, singing and making melody to the Lord in your hearts, giving thanks to God at all times and for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. With the fine accompaniment provided by Jenny and Jim on guitars and Kim on flute, you live this reading faithfully every Sunday. It's a wonderful thing to hear this congregation sing. Making melody to the Lord is a simple but profound witness to our faith in these days, which, as the epistle warns, are evil days. The days were certainly evil in the time of St. Paul when he wrote to the Ephesians. He wrote this epistle from a Roman prison where he was being held and tortured for his teaching and preaching. When he wrote that the days were evil, he took an enormous risk by putting anything in writing and having it smuggled out of prison. And those who smuggled and transported his letter from Rome to the little congregation in Ephesus took an enormous risk, knowing Paul's reputation among the hostile authorities of the empire. St. Paul was frequently thrown into prison. And even there, he and his companion Silas were praying and singing, making melody to the Lord. Those were dangerous and evil days. The empire was powerful and often cruel. And the people of a country occupied by the empire, the peasants, had no power, no privileges. They were expendable. A minority of people who refused to worship the emperor were treated as criminals, which is why Jesus was crucified, which is why Paul was persecuted, which is why the earliest Christian congregations had to meet in secret, lest they be arrested and killed. With incredible courage, Christians illegally kept their faith in Jesus Christ. St. Paul, a Christian apostle, spoke and wrote with great courage about the evil times in which he lived. We read his letters today. Indeed, we read the entire Bible, not only for what it tells us about the times in which it was written, but also for the truth it tells us about the times in which we live today. Good and evil are just as real as ever, but sometimes it seems, doesn't it, that evil is stronger than good? We know only too well about the strength of evil these days. Just three illustrations make that very clear. First, an attempt to forestall a nuclear arms race in the Middle East is controversial, sensitive, and maybe not possible. Secondly, our government is deadlocked over issue after issue, and we yearn for a spirit of cooperation in Washington. And thirdly, we watch helplessly as school children are murdered in their classrooms, and as some police officers shoot unarmed citizens one after another with little or no justification at all. So, we pray to the Lord. And yes, we sing to the Lord. We witness to our faith that no matter how evil, no matter how hopeless the present time, our gracious God brings good out of evil and renews springs of hope among the faithful. That's why we sing. That's why we pray. That's why, no matter what, we give thanks to God at all times and for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. One very clear and beautiful sign of the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ in the face of evil days is the amazing forgiveness offered by the families of shooting victims to those who did the shooting. The only way I can learn that kind of profound forgiveness is from Jesus himself, who forgave the ones who crucified him. That's what the grace of God is all about. It is exactly the opposite of avenging evil with evil. That will never win anything. The gospel, the good news of Christ, is the overcoming of evil with good, with the amazing strength of forgiving love. Today's gospel lesson is from the 6th chapter of the gospel according to St. John. Today's gospel reading is one of at least 23 readings in the New Testament in which bread is rich in meaning and of central importance. One such place in the New Testament is the prayer which Jesus taught us, "Give us each day our daily bread." A second is in the words of Father Randy at the table of Eucharist. Jesus took a loaf of bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body broken for you." And a third is in today's gospel reading, where Jesus said, "I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats of this bread will live forever. And the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh." Yes, physically, each one of us will die. But the living bread of our Savior, alive within us, will live forever. Christ is the bread of heaven, which nourishes our souls, just as good baked whole grain bread nourishes our bodies. St. Augustine said that exactly the same as we take bread into our bodies, so at Holy Communion, we take Christ into our souls. Each one of these makes all the difference in life and in death. Without the daily nourishment of food, our bodies will die. Without the daily nourishment of Christ, our souls will die. My mother was hospitalized at the end of her life. She had suffered 2 strokes, and she could no longer swallow anything. So the doctors and nurses put in a nasal gastric feeding tube to give her the nourishment that would keep her alive. But repeatedly, she kept pulling the NG tube out. For her, the nourishment of Christ in her soul was more than enough. And she was ready to let her body go. While she could still talk, she told me she had finally been able to forgive the 2 or 3 people in her life that had caused her the most trouble. And at the end, she was at peace. The same God-given peace we offer each other every Sunday here at St. James. Without the daily nourishment of food, our bodies die. But with the nourishment of the bread of Christ, just as he promised, we will live forever. Within the grace of our Savior Christ, our souls abide in God and go to God. I cannot remember ever missing a meal, unless I just wasn't feeling well, which is one of these days right now, but food has always been available. But I can remember very well a time in my life, about 8 years of it in my 20s, when I turned away from the living bread of Christ and wandered in the wilderness of unbelief and skeptical questioning of everything. Those were dark and undernourished years in my life. For me, it was the grace of God which brought the season of questions to an end. And I discovered what I had been missing. This was no achievement of my own. St. Paul wrote in the same letter to the Ephesians, "By grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not the result of works, so that no one may boast." Thanks be to God. Now it's time for me to quit talking. I thank you and Father Randy for the privilege of addressing you this morning. Far beyond these spoken words, the eternal Word of God meets us and enters into us at the table in the giving and receiving of our Savior's broken body and shed blood. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.